Imagine what your life would be like if money was not an issue. And if you had all the money that you could ever imagine, and you could do with whatever you wanted to do, what would you do? Would you do anything different than you are right now? Would you go on a vacation, or would you go on a mission trip, or would you quit your job?
No.
I think most of us probably would. You don't have a job. I think most of us we would do things different, wouldn't we? If you had all that burden and all that stress off of you, if you had nothing to worry about financially, and I know that, you know, financial freedom is really, it's a wonderful place to be. And I know that we strive for that, right? Now, I'm not talking about finances this morning. That is not my sermon at all. But I just know that that burden lifted off, we would think, man, and I know many of us have thought that in our life. I mean, there's been times in my life I would say, man, if I just didn't have to worry about that bill that I have to pay, or if I just didn't have to work so much, I could do whatever, you know? And I think all of us maybe have something just a little bit different. You know, according to Google search, there are 1,784 ifs in the Bible. And I got to take their word for it. You know, Google doesn't lie about anything. Google's always right, right? If you want to know anything, you can just Google it. Any one if could change your life. Any one if could change anything and everything. To me, everything starts with if. That word, if. You know, if I go to college, I would. Or if I talk to my boss, maybe I'll get a raise. If I apply for this job, I would. If I get out of my own comfort zone, I would go and do what? If I would save money, I would sometimes buy other things, probably. If I would just take the time, I would. If I have the courage, or if I had the courage, I would what? Those questions we probably asked ourselves. Until if becomes a determined action, it's just a dream. But that if has to become an action in our life. I remember when God called me into the ministry, and I remember where I was and what I felt like when God was calling me and tugging at my heart. And in my mind, there was hundreds of ifs. There was those ifs. And some negative and some positive and some drawing me towards the dream. And I had many excuses that took me away from that dream. There's a lot of negative obstacles that will pull you away as it did me because of the ifs. Well, what if I can't afford to quit my job and pastor full time? What if? I mean, there's all these ifs. But I think there's two main ifs in our life. It's what if and if only. What if and if only. You know, one is a present and forward-looking, and the other one is a past thing, looking back. And which one will define you in your life when your life comes to an end? Like I said, there are over 1,700 passages of ifs in the Bible, and we're going to look at them this morning. I mean, not all of them. But you know, there's a few that I think I'd like to go over that I believe that they will literally change your life if you'll let them. You know, as we get older, we use less of the left side of our brain than we do the right side. The left side is a side of imagination, and the right side is supposed to be more of the logical side. I don't know if that's really true or not. That's one of those Google things, you know. You know, I think most people, I don't think they use their brain at all, to tell you the truth, but especially when it comes to spiritual things. So I want to start with the what if. And we have, you know, we've all said to ourselves, what if? And we could name those numerous things. What if I go to college? Or what if I don't go to college? And what if I can't pass? Or what if I can't afford it? Or what if I, you know, don't find the right girlfriend? Or what if I don't find the right spouse, you know? And I think it's important that we look for that matching rib. You know, you remember that Adam fell into a deep sleep and God took a rib, removed a rib from Adam, and he placed it in Eve. So she had a matching rib. She was connected to him. And I think it's so important, and I know there's not too many young people in here because they all went downstairs, but it's important that we look for that matching rib in our life. It's important that we look for that right relationship or girlfriend, and I know that Leanne did because she found Mr. Right. I had to do that. It is true. She found Mr. Right. Unmistakably.
our daughter's Mr. Right didn't work out.
But you know, even looking for that job or desiring a different job, there's always those what ifs. You know, what if I quit? What if I find a better job? What if? You know, there's always these what ifs. And sometimes those what ifs is defined by what if I have enough courage to make it happen or not. Or, you know, but we all have these regrets. We think about, well, what if I'd have done this? What if I'd have did that? And I can think back in my life of all those what ifs. What if I hadn't have done that? You know, a lot of those. If I just hadn't have done that, maybe things would have been different. And I maybe think Leanne says that sometimes. But we all have, you know, we've all got those regrets or those woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know, things. And maybe we didn't respond correctly, or maybe we did, and maybe that was just God's plan for us. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." And I think we would all agree that this world right now that we live in is in trouble. I think we could all agree to that. And I think because God's people are not seeking His face like they should, and they're not on their knees praying that God would intervene in these troubling times. You know, we talked about prayer on Wednesday night, and I think that we're just not praying like we should. It used to be prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, or, you know, but this desire to humble ourselves before God and cry out to Him. There's so much disunity and so much family breakdowns and so much racial divide in this country. There's so much conflicts all over the world, and we have terrorists and terrorism and political unrest, and that's just a few of the problems that we have. You know, there's certain things that we have to do if we want to see God's hand in our lives. Then after the if, we can see God intervene. If my people will pray and seek my face, then I will heal their land. I love that scripture. If is in that scripture. Our God, the God that we proclaim as Lord of our lives, calls His people to be a people of prayer and seeking His face, and He, out of His gracious promises, He promises to heal our land and to be our God. An awesome promise from God if we respond to His word. And if, that word's in all those You know, I read once that prayer is an earthly request for heavenly intervention. It's the tool and strategy we have to be given in order to pull something down out of the invisible into the visible. Does that make sense? Prayer enacts God's hand like nothing else in our lives. He wants us to have this relationship with Him, and prayer is a bond that we have, a communication that we have between us and Him, and we build that relationship with the Father in heaven through prayer. It's a relational communication. If we're going to turn our communities and our nation around, God's people are going to have to repent and to throw themselves down before the face of God Almighty. In the Old Testament, we read all the time, when the nation of Israel wanted to come back to God, what would they do? They would call the whole nation. They would put on sackcloth and ashes, and they would fall on their faces before God, and they would pray and fast until it happened. How many times have we done that? How many times have we gotten that serious about the issues that we have in this world today that we were willing to tear our clothes and fall on our faces before God and not eat until something happened? That's pretty serious, isn't it? Another passage is in Romans 8:31. It says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Man, I want to take that in. Wrap your head around that this morning. If God is for you, who can be against you? The God of the universe, the creator of all things, the God that saves your soul and promises you eternal life, if He is for you, who can possibly be against you? Amen? What have you got to worry about? We have to take this verse, I think, into context, and we have to be reminded that this world is not our home. Amen? We are just here. Some of us are here on vacation, and some of us think we're here for punishment. We have those moments in life, don't we? But you know, this is not our home. We just gave a memorial plaque this morning to recognize one of our sisters in Christ who is now not here. She's home. Amen? She is home. She's back home. She's not here any longer. One of these days, we'll be able to walk down the streets of heaven and see her. We'll know who she is. Amen? She'll be home. That's an awesome promise from God if we can respond to Him. We really want to take a minute, I think, to wrap our heads around that. We have to take this verse into context, like I said, and so many think that this is it here on this earth, is what I'm trying to say. They think this is it. This is all there is to this world, is this life. So I'm going to live the best I can. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go fishing every day, and I'm going to do what I want to do because my life's almost over, and I want to do all I can before my life is over. And what they don't understand is their life's not over. It's just began when we leave here. But it's what we do here and who we receive here determines what we'll have for the rest of our eternity. We know that all things work together for good to those that love Him. We're more than conquerors in Christ. Amen? Those who may have present suffering but will one day receive future glory. That's what the Scripture says. Sometimes we go through some rough times here on this earth, and sometimes we suffer greatly. But one day we will receive our future glory. Romans 8:24 says, "For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Some people think that God's like a wicked father, but who can't wait for his children to misbehave so that he can punish them. But that is not the description of our Savior, our Creator. And He is a just God, though. Although He, our Heavenly Father, is just and will punish those who do not know Him or obey the gospel, God is also a loving God. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, the Scripture plainly reveals that God is also a loving Father. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." 2 Peter says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" There's some proofs of God's power. Proof number one is in Romans 8:32, where it says, "God will graciously give us all things." Proof number two is in Romans 8:33. It says, "No one will bring a charge against us. He will find us innocent on that day." Proof number three is, "No one will condemn us," in Romans 8:34, because we're in Christ, and now there's no longer any condemnation. Amen? Proof number four is in Romans 8:35. It says, "Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. He is our protector. He is our God." We've got to remember that God is outside of time. He doesn't exist like we think. We calculate time by the rotations of the earth and around the sun, but God holds the earth in His hand. He's outside of that. He is outside of what we perceive as past, present, and future. God sees as a constant present. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. He sees it from the beginning, and He knows what He sees it all. Romans 10:8 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Amen? Our mouths can say anything. In fact, God's Word tells us our hearts are deceitful and our tongue is wicked. But when God gets a hold of our heart, amen, things change, don't they? Then we confess the truth about who God is, and we're assured of our salvation because He promised it, and we believe that. Amen? You know, Paul, I want you to see Paul's heart this morning as he wrote these words. He wanted everyone to see the mercy and the grace that had been given him. Paul's really dealing with mistaken zeal, and the Jews were zealous for God, but Paul acknowledged that, but they were more zealous for religion. And Paul was putting it in perspective. They based their religion on obedience to the law and the Ten Commandments. And if you broke one of the Ten Commandments, you were lost in sin forever. And Paul was saying that Christianity is based upon a relationship with Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. That's what Paul's writing about there in those scriptures that I quoted. The law told you how far you could walk on the Sabbath, and if any burden weighed you more than two dried figs, you could not lift it. You could keep a person sick, or a person that was sick from getting worse on the Sabbath, but you couldn't make them better on the Sabbath because you'd be breaking the law. That didn't make sense at all, does it? It's what Jesus came here to talk about. It's like, guys, you got it all wrong. You know, the Jews struggled with the ifs, is what I'm saying. The Jews wanted it by their works, and Paul is telling them to put their faith in the finished work of Christ if they wanted to be saved. The Jews struggled with the fact that the good news was open to all and to everyone. And Paul tells them this, everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. The Jews struggled with the fact that they compared themselves to others, that they were better than, instead of seeing each one, all of us are just sinners. The one little word if makes the difference in what if. What if you truly believe that if my people would pray and seek my face, I would heal their land? And what if you truly believe that if God was for us, who could possibly be against us? Amen? And what if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Down deep in your heart, you believe that He died for you. He was raised from the dead by our Heavenly Father. What if you really believe that? How would that change your life? How would that change how you lived each day? And I hope that this morning, right now, that everyone here believes that. If these things became beliefs you lived, your life would be changed forever. The final if is this morning is the if onlys. We will not, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this morning, but every one of us has had the if only regrets. And back to my very first things I said this morning is we have things that we would do different, I think. All of us do. Maybe if we got out of our comfort zone, our lives would be different. And if only, though, can destroy you if you let it. You know, we can't go back and change those things in our past. But we can, in fact, from this day, right now, from this second, we can move forward, amen, towards Christ in a better relationship with Him. The only if only that would have eternal consequences is if only I had put my faith in Jesus Christ sooner. Amen. That's one of my big ones. If I would have only done that sooner. But that one cannot be changed either. So I have to take what I have been given today and I have to make it better. Amen? I have to live my life better today than I did yesterday, and I have to live my life tomorrow better than today, and so forth and so forth. And that's the attitude that we all must have. Because I know we're not perfect. Sometimes we mess up. I don't want to focus on the mess ups. That's not why Christ came and died for us. Amen? He forgave us of those mess ups, and He said, listen, if you'll repent, if you'll fall on your face and you'll humble yourself before me, and that means every day. Paul said, I die daily. If you'll do that every day, guess what? Don't worry about what was yesterday. Just focus on what is today and what is tomorrow. I'm here with you because I know we do those things sometimes with that. We don't mean to, right? Thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old is gone and a new has come. Man, baptisms we had last week. Special moment. That's a testimony of, I'm not the same person I was. I'm dead to that old self. I am a new creation in Christ. I've been raised with Him. Amen? The old has passed away and the new has come. A new creation in the fact that now I look at things way different than I did before. I believe in what Christ has done. He's forgiven me of my failures. I'm a new creation in the fact that my past does not define who I am today. Amen? Because those days are gone. They're over. They're behind me now. A new creation, in fact, that what is ahead for me is fresh and new, and not carrying the past does not weigh me down any longer. I'm able to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? We all are. If is this a very big word, and when we look at it through the eyes of God's Word, amen? If you look at redemption, you will not live in condemnation. If you look at reconciliation, you'll not live in alienation of God who loves you, of the God who loves you. So let's pray this morning. Will you bow your heads with me? That's if you want to. Dear Heavenly Father, I call upon Your name this morning, Lord. If there's anyone here that doesn't know You, Lord, I just pray that they receive You right now. Lord, I thank You for what You've done. I praise You for what You're going to do. Lord, let us leave here better than we came, knowing that You are with us. You will never leave us or forsake us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.